Good people, welcome to Nerd vs. Noob Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. Well, we did Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 a couple of days ago, and now we've just come freshly out of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and we've sat down with some questions that we prepped before the movie to answer them for your listening pleasure. I am your co-host Sam Hurley, and I am joined by my usual noob, Stacey Gavin. How are you, Stacey?
I'm great, thanks, Sam.
That's great. And due to how our podcasts are going to get played out, this is actually the last one that we'll record with Spanky for a while. So, Spanky, how are you, Spanky?
Oh, good. I've been looking forward to seeing this one for a while.
Yeah. Oh, man. Expectations, anticipations have all been running pretty high for this film. And, yeah, did it deliver? Did it not? You'll find out very quickly. So, IMDb currently have this rated at to be confirmed. Rotten Tomatoes currently have this rated at to be confirmed. Metacritic currently has this rated at to be confirmed.
Should we do a quick Google on that?
No, it's changed. It has updated.
Yeah, it has updated.
It's like 9.8 or something on IMDb after one rating by the dude's mum.
So IMDb currently have this rated at 9.8 by the dude's mum.
I'm right, eh?
I don't know. My phone's run out of batteries. Rotten Tomato currently has this rated at 9.8 by the dude's mum. Metacritic has this currently rated 9.8, according to Spanky, by the dude's mum. But Spanky, take your dude's mum hat off for a second. What would you rate this movie?
Now, like, I'm pretty fresh in my mind what I gave Guardians 1, 8,100 out of the 10,000 scale. I actually think this movie's not quite as good as the first one, and by a decent margin too, so I'm thinking at least 500. I'm going to put it there, 7,600.
What about you, Ginger Princess?
I would give this 7,222.
Oh, notable decline. I think I gave Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 8,112, and I'm going to give this 8,012. I think there is a noticeable difference, but not that noticeable. Really enjoyed it. So, if you're not actually going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and you still want to hear what it's about, how about you hit us with a plot, Stacey Gavin?
This won't spoil it, by the way. Set to the backdrop of Awesome Mixtape Number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage.
Yeah, okay.
Anything to add?
Oh, there's a lot to add. Yeah, I mean, you guys get the general gist. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy trying to save the galaxy. Peter Quill's true parentage obviously plays a role in it. You've seen that in the trailer with the very awesome Kurt Russell. But yeah, we're gonna talk a bit about the movie, but we're not going to try and spoil too much of this because, you know, there's a lot of spoilers. There's a lot of stuff that happens in this that affects any future Guardians movies as well as any future MCU movies. So we're trying not to spoil as much of that as possible. So mild spoiler alert. I know this doesn't come out in America till May 7th, so this will probably be out before you guys all get a chance to go watch it, so maybe hold off until afterwards if you want to hear this. I don't know, up to you guys. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to start with an all-play question, and we're going to go with a compliment sandwich since it's fresh in our minds. We're just going to give something quick about what we liked, something we didn't like, and something we liked. And Stacey, you can start.
One thing I loved in this movie was Drax. I think he was much better in this movie than the previous. The thing I didn't like was the overuse of the same comedy. Multiple different characters, just the same joke over and over again. The final thing I did like was the comedy and this nostalgia. I mean, that's what everyone loved about the first Guardians, and it's still there.
What I liked about the movie was it gave you things that you loved from the first movie. The thing that I didn't like about this movie is that it gave you the things you love from the first movie. And the third thing I did really like was the consistency.
That's a complete cop-out.
had a consistent texture, eh? Cool. The thing I liked about this was they developed the relationships between the characters and other characters, which I won't get into too much. They developed that quite well and gave quite an interesting backstory focus, added a bit more flesh to them. The thing I didn't like about it was there was a few character motivations that didn't really seem that logical. I mean, maybe that's me just applying my Earth brain logic to some extraterrestrial beings. Oh, the other thing I loved was the nods to other characters, beings, etc., etc., around the Marvel Universe. We got treated to the introduction of a few mainstream Marvel characters that people have been wondering if we'll ever see, and we got to see them, including one character that I thought was under rights of Fox, but they popped up in this movie.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't notice any of that.
Yeah, because you don't know any of them.
Okay.
Oh, how cute. Anyway, it's going to move me on to my first set of three questions. So, characters all got a pretty decent crack at, you know, holding their own in this movie and having their, you know, bit to say and do. But what character could you guys have maybe got a bit more of?
I just can't get enough of Rocket. He's the bomb, man. Like, he is the best character in this movie. And there was a lot of him in this movie. I would have just liked seeing a little bit more of him interacting with other characters. He was kind of solely interacting with a few more than others, so.
It wasn't the voice of Bradley Cooper that set your ginger love afire?
Yeah, that could have something to do with it.
What about you, Spanky?
Okay, so I'll talk about a character that wasn't in the movie at all, that maybe should have been in the movie. There was no Thanos. This movie didn't really connect with the Avengers Infinity War theme or storyline at all. I thought that there could have at least been a throwaway scene with Thanos or something, even a credit scene with Thanos saying, "These guardians are getting out of control," or something, just something so you knew that Thanos was recognizing what was going on and that they were a threat. We missed having any Thanos.
Don't feel too bad about that on the spoiler. James Gunn actually came out before the movie and said that there's going to be no Thanos in this movie, which a lot of fans were like, "Yeah, he's just lying."
Yeah, but the girls did talk about him though. So maybe while he's not watching, Nebula and Gamora sneak up on him, take him from behind.
Oh, you mean kill him? Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
After they've taken him from behind.
Cool. So my final question that normally starts a game of 20 questions. Is this film a plant, an animal, or a mineral? And if so, what type?
To me, it's definitely an animal. It's a little bit all over the place and has a bit of character. And the character to me is quite a flashy one. Something with bright colours. Not quite peacock, but some other very bright bird.
Definitely peacock.
So that's what you're going for, a peacock, eh? Maybe Spanky's going with a peahen and you're going with a peacock.
No. I was going to go animal, but I'll change that. I think it was mineral. Some weird, undiscovered mineral that we don't know about yet that's just ready to like burst forth,
like gingerite or something.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Oh, cool. And final question here, guys, would one of you guys like to be a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Hell no, it is way too dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. They're a family. They look after everyone, even though I would obviously be the person dragging everyone down. They would
the collective skill.
They would look after me. Maybe I could sit in the ship like
James Gunn's brother.
Like James Gunn's brother. Yeah. Just like that. Exactly.
All I got to say to you, Spanky, is red shirt. You'd be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Intro shot. Yeah, one of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Spanky's dying.
The Slipknot of Guardians of the Galaxy.
The Slipknot of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nod to Suicide Squad there.
What's this guy's special skill? Well, he's pretty good with a lacrosse stick. Oh, he's dead. Okay, so that's me done. Moves us on to Spanky.
Okay, they're a team, but if they weren't a team, tell me which singular person or potentially a duo might be deserved of a spin-off movie.
We get just enough of this character's history to make you want a lot more, and that's Yondu.
Yeah, he's pretty interesting, and he's like the hero.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my all-time favourite, Rocket. He needs a spin-off.
Spoiler alert, apparently that's in the works.
Yeah.
Ooh. Rocket and Groot.
Yeah, supposedly there's Rocket and Groot spin-off happening some point down the line. So there you go. You're going to have your own Rocket movie.
Yeah,
you look disappointed.
No, I think that's great. And I think it will be really cool to see Groot's linguistic ability evolve. Rocket did discuss this in this movie, how it needed to be worked on.
All right, guys. The superhero movie is pushing the boundaries of what we think of as an action movie, but suggests another genre that they could have done Guardians of the Galaxy in.
Blow La La Land out of the water musical.
Can only imagine what that would look like.
Amazing. It would look exactly the same, but with singing.
Considering how much music and dancing they use in this film, yeah, you're right. Hey, I'm going to go back to James Gunn's history. He did Sliver, and I think there was elements of that in this movie. There's certainly scenes that started getting you going and thinking, holy shit, what the hell's going to happen here to these characters? So yeah, I'm imagining a bit more horror to it.
Cool.
Awesome. So last of my first set of three questions. Pretty simple. Who's cooler, Han Solo or Star-Lord?
Oh, I think the answer's pretty obvious if anyone knows me very well. It's Han Solo. Han Solo, or Harrison Ford, he just knows he's cool and he doesn't have to force it down anyone's throat. Whereas I feel like Star-Lord's a bit more like, hey, guys, I'm really cool, you know? But I'm like, I'm really cool. I'm really cool, guys. Come on, I'm really cool. I felt like there was like that in the first movie. The second movie, yeah, it was a bit less of the funny wisecracking, hey, Star-Lord, come on.
I totally agree with you. I reckon Han Solo.
Mm.
Yeah, Star-Lord just lost his mojo in this movie after Guardians 1. I thought he was totally cool. But now I'm like, meh.
Cool, so Stacey, your three questions.
Okay, so we find out Peter Quill has made his way through a few species, including laying with an Excavarian in the first movie. Would you risk a biological reaction and lay with an alien?
In my research for this, I actually Googled whether it's legal to have sex with an alien. And I am needing to have a meeting with IT on Friday to discuss my computer habits. I'm kidding. What about you, Spaggy?
No, contrary to popular belief, I won't sleep with anything with two legs.
Hang on.
Or four. Or six.
Or hang on a second. Gamora is an alien, right?
Yeah.
I thought you liked her.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
So I've got permission from you to sleep with her if she comes down to Earth? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, sure.
Yeah! Woohoo! Aliens out there, they're listening to our podcast. If you want to come track me down... I live at...
Okay, guys, whole heap of dodgy characters in this movie. Which character would you feel most comfortable lending $100?
I think it's Drax. He takes things so literally that he wouldn't have it if you had something to hold against him. So the man with the sensitive nipples.
Oh, sensitive nipples. I love that. The other very easy and obvious answer is Gamora. I don't think she'd run off and never give you $100 back.
Righto. So usually in these kind of movies, we get a whole heap of stereotypical plot devices. Was there anything in this movie that needed to be removed?
One of the problems I had with it was a couple of the characters' motivations. They just seemed a bit forced, like a bit sort of pushed in there to move the story along and give the plot a bit more depth or give the story a bit more depth. I just didn't think they were necessary. It was in particular two of three that once you guys have seen the movie, you'd understand what I'm talking about, that have these sort of motivations that you're like, really? No, come on. You wouldn't steal that. Or you wouldn't be like that. Yeah.
Oh, very mysterious.
Yes.
Now I'm going to cheat a little bit, skew the question, and it's not a plot device from the movie, but it's just a device in general that should have been removed. The trailers. The trailers showed too much of the good shit. In fact, I thought that actually the I'm Groot bomb thing was, if it was the first time I had seen it, that would have been so much more impactful. The use of Fleetwood Mac's The Chain, which was in there, same thing, would have been heaps more impactful had I not seen it before. I'm sure they could have done trailers that didn't reveal so much.
It's sort of funny because there's a lot of argument out there now at the moment about trailers showing way too much. And like the counter argument was, well, if you don't want to know anything about the movie, don't watch them. But here's the thing, like, we know they're out there and we know they're very close to us, you know, at the end of a phone. So it's like, it's impossible not to want to watch these. I thought they did an all right job in this one, though, without revealing too much. Cool, so that takes me on to my next set of three questions. So yeah, we've been treated to two Guardians of the Galaxy movies now, and we've been treated to a lot of the MCU on Earth. Geez, the most basic spoiler in the history of Marvel movies, but Avengers Infinity War is coming out next year, and we've got confirmation that some of the Avengers are going to be in the movie. We've got confirmation that most of the Guardians are going to be in the movie. Which Guardian and which Avenger or MCU character that's based on Earth are you most excited about seeing potentially team up in Avengers Infinity War?
I'm going to put technology and say Rocket Raccoon and Iron Man. I can see Iron Man, Tony Stark and Rocket Raccoon having a hell of a time in Infinity War.
I love that because they're both very snarky, and I love that Rocket Raccoon's a bit of a genius, so who knows what he could do to Tony, just like Stark suits or whatever, and just Tony Stark having potentially someone that's smarter than him when it comes to technology.
That's a real good answer.
Fucking fantastic, huh?
Something interesting just popped into my head. You're going to have to help me out with character names here.
Captain America.
No. Okay, so one of the, like, nemesises. Is it how you say it? Nemesai. One of the baddies in this movie was the woman in gold. What was her name?
Aisha.
Aisha. So she seems like some kind of goddess who looks after a whole planet. I'd like to see her team up with someone who we think died in Doctor Strange, but I don't think she did. The Ancient One. Yes. So I think that they could team up. And even though one's bad and one's kind of good, or is she? That is the question.
So there you go, Kevin Feige. If you wanted to know what sort of movie to make for a 34-year-old ginger girl from the middle of nowhere in New Zealand, that's the movie you've got to make. Aisha and the Ancient One. Going on to some wild shenanigans. Is one of them evil or not?
No.
Trying on shoes.
No, you didn't. You're
going
not listening.
Out for coffee.
They're not the main.
The new hat that you showed to the girl.
Do you like my new activewear?
That you show to the girls and they all go, ooh, that's nice.
No, you don't get it. Like, they are going to be in Avengers Infinity War and they're the bad guys.
Yeah, Aisha is. Ancient One, no.
But is she?
Oh, but
it's because it's mystical. Maybe it's one of those situations where she's controlling the mystical world and then it gets warped as it goes out into space to a bad
influence. And I mean, if Doctor Strange can turn back time, if he can find a way. Turn back time.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah, we got it. Thanks.
Oh, no. Okay, it's very late at the moment, dear listeners. This is going swimmingly. Anyway, so all of these guys are pretty odd, pretty unusual in their own freaky-deaky little ways. Which one of these characters, out of all of them, do you guys think is the biggest sexual deviant?
Is definitely Ego.
Yeah.
He goes around the whole entire universe in many, many galaxies trying to spread his seed.
And figuratively and literally.
Yes, exactly. So there you go. Beat that.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with another character who's new as of this movie, Mantis. Her power is all around emotion, and I could imagine someone with that type of persuasive emotion type thing would definitely have their fun in the relationship front.
So you reckon because she's so emotional, she just takes it to the extremes?
But she can control your emotions, right?
Are you enjoying that?
Not really. Totally are. You totally are. You're loving that.
You're loving it. And go to sleep. Okay, guys, we've already asked you whether you think this film was a plant, animal, or mineral, but here's another good one for you. What type of fast food is this movie?
This movie is microwave macaroni and cheese.
Gross.
It's like carby comfort food, you know, that generally everyone enjoys, but it's not the best quality, so that's why it's microwave.
Fair enough.
And so I'll go with a much more tasty food, so I believe. I believe that it's Chinese food. It's probably a bit greasy. It's probably got some things which aren't so good for you in it. And it's a bit of a guilty pleasure. You definitely order it every once in a while, and that's pretty much this movie down to a T.
Fair enough. Mm. Cool, so Spanky starts us off with your next set of three questions.
We're starting to feel a diminishing love for the Chris Pratt Star-Lord character. He's definitely not cooler than Han Solo, and he was disappointing compared to last performance. Recast him. Get rid of Chris Pratt. Who else would you put in the role of Star-Lord?
Okay, this is really easy. This is a favourite of ours who we've talked about on previous podcasts.
Nicolas Cage.
Actually, he would have made a great Ego.
No, I'm talking for you. Yeah, he would have made an amazing Ego.
He would have been perfect. Sorry, yeah. Kurt Russell. I'm actually going to gender bend this as well and go with Kate McKinnon.
I don't know how to react.
She'd be wicked. She'd be crazy as. And that's what you need, to spice it up a bit. Spice up Star-Lord.
Okay.
Not swayed on that by either of us.
Fuck, you don't have to agree. It's not a vote.
Yes, it is. People at home are keeping a score on this. It's kind of hard to cast this because every single major Hollywood actor who's in his 30s now has been snapped up and signed by one of the superhero movies. I mean, we could go with Matthew McConaughey. He's a little bit older, but I'm going to go with one of the last remaining holdouts that I can think of off the top of my head, and that's Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, he was almost roped in to replace Tobey Maguire in the second Spider-Man movie, but he doesn't carry around any of that baggage of having been in a previous one.
Nice. Always happy to see him in a movie.
More crushes, eh?
Okay, so do you think Guardians 2 was better Or worse than Guardians 1.
Well, I mean, anyone that heard us at the start probably knows the answer to this already. It was an also-ran, but it didn't quite exceed the first one, I don't think.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. It was pretty much same-same. Nothing really new here.
All right, so unanimously, we hated the movie, obviously.
Yeah. Try again, James Gunn. Go make another one.
Let's move straight into the next question, which is kill one of the characters, kill them dead.
I'm going to pick Star-Lord.
God, what?
No, not that I hate him. Nothing like that whatsoever. There was a lot of talk about how Chris Evans' Captain America was going to die, and then when they brought back the gems, they were going to bring back him as this noble leader to help lead the Avengers and fight off Thanos. They could have done that with Star-Lord. We've seen that he's, you know, part human, part celestial. He could have been that one person that we need to bring back to fight off Thanos in Avengers Infinity War.
Ooh. Okay, I think that Gamora should have died, and she should have died quite early on in the movie, because what's the point in having her there if she's not going to pash Chris Pratt?
Oh my God. So that's what you're going for, right? So basically, Spanky, she's taken your question and turned that into, what sex scene are you disappointed not to get? And she's disappointed that she didn't
patch Stacey and Chris Pratt.
No, I'm not disappointed about that. What my point is,
Guardians Volume 3, new character, Gingera. And it's Chris Pratt's love interest.
No, but he'll be dead, won't he?
No, not a movie. No. Talking about your movie. Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
Yeah. See, anyway, not Stace. Anyway, Stace, on to you for your next set of three questions.
Okay, so we love a cameo and we had a good Stan Lee one, although not one of the ones that we predicted.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we forgot to
Which
make
that clear. Which is very, very disappointing. I would have liked to seen him floating around little Jetsons.
Or eating ramen noodles.
Or eating ramen noodles on the side of the intergalactic street food market. So tell me, what other celebrity cameo would you have liked to seen in this movie?
And that's one thing I'm disappointed about. I did read from James Gunn before that he'd been cut. He might be in the deleted scene, but Nathan Fillion. He was supposed to play Simon Williams, Wonder Man, for those of you out there who are big Marvel nerds like I am. And yeah, unfortunately was cut. I would like to him to have popped up because he was an actor on Earth and it could have been Star-Lord watching one of his movies.
Yeah, I'm going to go with John Cusack. Been a while since I've seen a good John Cusack movie. And he's just quirky enough, I think, to work in a Guardians movie, and I think he would make a nice little cameo.
You know what would have been awesome of his was that 80s movie where John Cusack standing outside that girl's window with a cassette player playing that song that she likes, and imagine Star-Lord's like, where the hell am I going to get another tape player from? And there's John Cusack holding up a stereo, and he's like, do you need this, bro? Thank you. Yes, I do. Hey, I've seen this movie. Wait a minute. That would have been dope.
Nice. Tell me about what you think the stupidest part of this movie was.
Drax.
What?
Well, he's stupid, but that was part of his charm. He was that dumb, stupid, and I mean, that's what he is. That's his whole thing. That's his jokes, and he played it well, and it was hilarious.
All right, okay, so I'll go with a continuity. In my mind, a continuity fault of the movie. There was the asteroid scene and the dodging asteroids, and I just happened to notice that Drax is standing perfectly upright, not a problem, as they are flipping upside down and avoiding asteroids, and then it cuts to them inside the ship, and he's just sort of standing there, and I'm like, surely he should be sitting down or at least holding on. And he wasn't, and I just thought that was the dumbest bit of the movie, just a bad bit of continuity.
What I also didn't like about that was the fact that they shortcutted through that galaxy field to get to that exit, and then we discovered that those other guys had gone all the way around the outside and then caught up with them, and it's sort of like, how slow is the Milano if these guys could have gone around the outside and caught them? Why don't you guys go around the outside and just get there rather than risking it all?
Yep, dumb.
Okay, so we all love Groot in the first movie.
Do we?
We did.
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, I think we did.
So in this movie, we see baby Groot. Mm. Is he a necessary character or is he toy-selling fodder?
Okay, so I'm going to say he's necessary, but I'm going to hedge that with, in my opinion, there was a massive overuse of the baby Groot. Definitely one of the major characters, but with a lack of power, he doesn't really contribute anything other than comic cuteness.
Mm.
Yes, he needs to be there because he's one of the Guardians and because of his popularity from the first one, but totally overused.
Yeah, I mean, he popped up in places that he really shouldn't have been. Perilous situations that no baby should have been put in.
Yeah, there were two key scenes where he was the
It's true,
main
yeah.
important reason for getting that job done. So, Yes, you could have written around them, but whatever. He was there. Cool. He was utilised.
Anywho, that moves us on to the final wall play question. So now we've seen two movies of these guys. We've seen a couple of movies of the Avengers. Now the Earth's under threat. Who would you call on first? Guardians of the Galaxy to come save you or the Avengers?
If the Avengers have Hulk and Thor, first Avengers movie, not
classic Avengers,
not Age of Ultron, then it's the Avengers all the way. But without that, and you've got two whiny bitches in Captain America and Iron Man, you're just not going to win. Like, you're better off with the quirkiness that is the Guardians. Sorry, Hulk and Thor all day.
This is a really hard decision because it's a very important matter. Saving the Earth. I think I would go with the Guardians because they're just a bit more fun.
So you like to have fun while your Earth is under attack by supreme forces?
Yeah, it takes your mind off it.
I think you call that X Factor.
See, I'm going to sort of side with Spanky on that. The classic Avengers for Hulk, I mean, you can't mess with them. But the Avengers era as it currently stands is just Iron Man, War Machine, who's, you know,
womped.
He's, you know, had his spine broken. Spider-Man, as we've seen in the trailer, is not an Avenger. So who is the Avengers at the moment? Really, it's just Iron Man and Black Widow. So it sort of makes
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's in jail.
Oh.
But then, yeah, Captain America's freed them, but they're not the Avengers anymore. So you kind of almost have to side with the Guardians of the Galaxy. But here's the kicker. I'm a massive tight ass, and those Guardians of the Galaxy are going to charge me money for it. So I'm going to go with the Avengers. Knew you'd like that.
That is so true.
Fair enough. You're not sure that you don't get S.H.I.E.L.D. agenda in your saving of the world, though.
Oh, yeah, good point. See, Guardians are more like free range.
But, I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean,
if
Tony Stark's saving you, I mean, at least we've seen in previous movies that he's also offering to pay for everything to get fixed and all that sort of shit. So, anyway, it takes us to the end of our podcast. Noob seal of approval. Should noobs go see this?
I'm going to say no.
Too nerdy?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think the comedy gold is just like tiny nuggets in a whole sea of sci-fi action bullshit.
Whoa. Okay. What about you, Spanky? Any final thoughts?
It was good. Cookie cutter, though, so it's pretty much as expected. Don't rush out and see it in the first week. This movie will wait for you. It's not going to keep sleepless nights worrying that you haven't seen this critically acclaimed film yet, even if you're a massive geek. Just wait. Wait till it's on $10 special or something like that. That's about what it's worth.
Fair enough. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I probably enjoyed it a lot more than these guys. I liked all the little subtle Easter eggs and nods and everything else that was in there. That was pretty cool. Anyway, that takes us to the end of our podcast. Thank you for listening. Like and subscribe to us on all the platforms where you can find us. iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, Smoke Signals being broadcast from the back of my mum's house.
Raven.
The Timaru Herald. You can find us anywhere. We are everywhere at the moment.
The Solomon Star.
We're currently the 12th most popular podcast in Never Neverland and the 4th most popular podcast being broadcast from our house right now. So that's something to be proud of. Pretty stoked with that. You know, hopefully going to medal soon. Anyway, now our next film that we're...
It's going to be a surprise.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's going to be a surprise. In reality, due to our programming, we're going to release Pulp Fiction and we're going to release I Survived the Zombie Holocaust. That's two we've got recorded and in the bag that we're going to put out soon after this one. But unfortunately, that bids adieu to Spanky. He's no longer going to be here until late in the year. So we'll get him back in to make some inappropriate jokes and hopefully keep you guys entertained.
Everyone out there in Movie Land, watch heaps of movies while I can't.
Yeah, I forget to point out that Spanky is fading into the obscurity that is the Solomon Islands.
Sorry if you're from Solomon Islands, but we can look at the stats and no one there listens to us.
But anyway, that's thanks for me.
Thanks, guys. I feel a bit sick, actually. Shouldn't have eaten all that popcorn.
I can't even fucking think of anyone that would be comedic, but at the same time, funny.
Comedic and funny?
Yeah.
God damn it. You earned yourself an outtake.
Although you were complaining her moral compass was off.
Yeah, well, I was complaining in the car on the way home, but not on the podcast.
Adam Sandler is star.